Good morning. You are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. I'm Janine, and this is Get the Funk Out. I am now live on Wednesday mornings. You can catch my best of shows on Mondays at 9, but I'll be with you every Wednesday at 9 from here on out. And if you're not familiar with my show, you can visit the show blog, which is getthefunkoutshow.kuci.org. And all of my guests are on there from 2011. All right, standing by to join us in the second half of the show is Anna Homayoun, and she has got a new book out called Erasing the Finish Line, The New Blueprint for Success Beyond Grades in College Admission. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining me.
So glad to be here.
Tell me how this idea for this book came about, because I know I was talking your ear off about how passionate I am about this subject.
Yeah. Well, I've been doing this work for over 20 years with middle school, high school, and college students. And I really saw how this hyper-focus on college admissions was missing the bigger picture on how the daily habits and routines and fundamental skills are key in a world where many of the jobs that my older students are working in didn't exist when they were in middle school and high school. So I set out for this book to interview my students from 15 years ago, who are now in their early 30s, and share their stories alongside current students and available research to really show a bigger picture of what we need to do to support students.
When did you first write this book? When did you start working on it? Was it during the pandemic?
Well, the idea for the book originally started, started before the pandemic, in the fact that I was doing this work in Charlotte that I talk about in chapter 3.
Okay.
So originally I thought that was going to be a bigger part of the book.
Mm-hmm.
But as I did this work and I navigated the pandemic with my students, so I was doing the same online schooling in our office in the Silicon Valley for over a year because of space constraints and the rules in Santa Clara County. So I really saw the impact of day-to-day life on education and schooling in the pandemic.
That's great.
And I really, again, saw this hyper-focus that was happening with this college acceptance, with these viral videos, with this information overload that's only increased and amplified since so much of our world went online. So the book changed quite a bit from what I originally, envisioned, and I'm really proud of how it turned out. The idea to actually interview my students happened midway through and tell their stories in the way that I did, because I said, I was kept hearing from so many of them and seeing how they were doing and seeing how they were telling me, I used this that I learned in your office in my job today. And so many of them were doing jobs that, 15-year-old, nobody would have thought they would have that level of success. I did. But, when we really just focus on these grades and test scores and college admission, we miss sight of these really fundamental skills that these students were building at a very key time in their lives.
Definitely. And what I was sharing with you before we went on is I wish the college admission process was very different, because it does focus on, do you have a 4.6? What are your AP scores? And you look at all the things that students went through the past few years, whether they lost a parent or they had to care for someone or care for their sibling, and I believe that they should look at the whole student, not just a grades.
Yeah, and I think, things have started to shift a little bit, but you're right. Like, it's like in these elite schools where they're accepting, 4% of students, they're rejecting 96%. And the conversation for my students really is, when they go to apply to college, what I talk to them about is reframing the conversation so they're a savvy consumer, so that they, instead of saying, who will take me, to really understand that they are a person of real interest and beliefs and values, and they would be a benefit to any university. And it's a two-way street of them figuring out where are the multiple places that they can thrive in their next step of their career.
Yes. So tell us more about the book without giving too much away.
Sure. So the book is set up in four underarching pillars or overarching pillars that really parents can, and caregivers and educators can, support students around. And those are the underlying fundamental skills that are tied into each of those pillars. So the first is around systems or developing executive functioning skills like organizing, planning, prioritizing. And we underestimate how important those are and how they're impacted by mood, sleep, and stress. So, right, like all of us during the pandemic, as you mentioned, you know, we were stressed out. Things felt like they took longer. And yet we assume that kids can do things at the same pace and that they're building these skills. But the research says otherwise, they really need time, structure, and support. The second is around connection. So how are they connecting? How are they making and maintaining friendships? What type of friendships? And so that's a really key piece that we sort of overlook. A lot of times people will call my office and they'll say, my student has great grades and great test scores and all these things, not a great communicator. But we know long-term in life, you need to have good communication skills.
Yes.
And then the third is around perspective. So expanding the definition of what's possible. And I give very practical hands-on strategies for readers to really put this in perspective in their own life. You know, it's around expanding possibility, being open and curious. And no matter what your background, to understand that there's multiple different pathways. And the example I give is, you know, I went back and I interviewed my students who were in their 30s, and many of the jobs that they were thriving in didn't exist when they were in middle school and high school. And they've had to be adaptable, they've had to learn skills, but they've also been open and curious about changing dynamics in the workplace.
Definitely.
And then the final one is around acceptance. So, and this is the hardest one for adults, is really understanding who your child is, accepting them, accepting their opportunities for growth, and accepting their benefits in this world. And when we do that, you know, the biggest thing I want readers to take away is not only is this pragmatic and solutions focused, but that, you know, a lot of times with parents, sometimes they're like, but are you saying that we should, like, not look at excellence and achievement? And I said, no, we should just reframe our whole conversation that we're focusing on these daily routines and habits that help social and emotional well-being and also help students create their own blueprint that ends up being even better than you imagined as a parent for your child. Because that's what's been happening for my students
Sure. Who
are now in their early 30s.
It's also interesting because when you focus more on other things besides just academics, you know, because there's so much more. I mean, the mental health and well-being of a student is much more important than grades and scores. And if they're, let's say they are fantastic academically, they're a rock star, they've got a 4.6, it doesn't mean that they're mentally and emotionally healthy.
Well, yeah, and there's two ways to look at that, too. The other piece of how to look at that is that when we can support these underlying skills, we're also supporting student well-being and mental health.
Mm-hmm.
So the first pillar around systems is around organizing, planning, prioritizing, starting and completing tasks, and adaptable thinking. Well, we know that when people feel organized, it decreases their stress. When they feel on top of things, it decreases their stress, which impacts their mental and emotional well-being.
Definitely. Yes. And I don't know if you've seen it, but I remember seeing on TikTok, you know, students sharing rejection letter after rejection letter, and they're crying because they work so hard and sacrificed. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think anytime you have an information overload of oversharing, it creates multiple ways of processing information. And that can be positive in some ways, right, that you're sharing and you build community, but it also can create this overwhelming information overload. It can create this fear and uncertainty in people watching the videos or seeing that disappointment. But also, you know, the intro of the book talks a lot about the viral acceptance post of, like, I got in, I'm sharing this with the world. And I think about that from my own context as a student in the 90s who didn't get in early decision. I applied somewhere early decision. I got rejected early. And I think, gosh, that was a really disappointing time. And it's okay to have to process disappointment. That's a normal part of life.
Did I lose you?
I lost
you for one split second.
Okay. And then if I have to go online and I have to see all the multiple places that are people that are getting in to the place I wanted to get in, it's like, you don't need that bombardment of information.
No. I don't think I barely got in. Forget early acceptance. And yeah, it's just, it's so hard. And And again, I just feel that the grades and the scores, they don't define you. And, you know, there are other things to focus on, you know, creativity. Are they innovative? You know, their leadership skills, things like that, that you talk about.
Well, yeah. And like just last week, I was talking to a young man who's a high school senior, and he's so wonderful. He's so charismatic. He's such a natural leader. He wants to do good in the world. He's so great in his community. And yet he said to me, college applications are so incredibly stressful. Mm-hmm. And he was just really lamenting this. And I was like, it's really affecting his sense of self and sense of worth and sense of, and it's losing sight of the character. And I said to his mom, I know that your son is going to thrive in the world. He is going to do amazing things. And I don't want that this one moment of time, this, you know, faulty finish line of college admissions should take anything away from who he is, how he is as a person in the world, and sort of take it down a notch because there's certain grades and test scores and admissions letters and acceptances that we're tying to that. And that's the key on both sides, right? Because if you're a highly academic person, but you don't have these underlying skills, you're not able to thrive in a world beyond this very narrow definition of success. That's also a problem.
Yes.
So we want all students to thrive and build their own skills for college and beyond, right? So whatever their next steps are, that's really the underlying crucial element of this book.
Well, I do want to ask you this. Do you feel that the college admission process should change?
You know, I think the college admission process is so tough because I'm not in admissions offices and I'm not seeing all the things that they are having to navigate. Like, to me, the increased number of applications is really harming everyone. It's harming students because they're spending so much time and energy. It's harming, you know, universities because they're having to plow through all these applications and not able to take the same amount of time and holistic overview.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just harming the whole process because it becomes a nonstop conversation. You know, other areas of the world, you apply to 5 to 7 schools. 35 years ago, 40 years ago, that's what most people told me they did. Now, you know, one of these, someone did an informal survey that has a big following around college admissions on Instagram, and over 40% of the people responded and said they are applying to more than 12 schools. That's a lot
it's
of
a
time
lot.
And energy.
Whoa.
And so part of it is not actually, like, the universities aren't creating that completely. Some of that is, you know, our own inherent culture around achievement, more, better. You know, when you have those articles that come out that say, you know, so-and-so got into 75 schools or 150 schools, well, they only can go to one.
That's right.
So something needs to change around that as well.
That's obsessive, applying to 75 to 100 schools.
It's very rare, but when the media gives credit to that, then kids start to think, then families start to think, right?
Mm-hmm.
They start to think, oh, 25 schools isn't a lot, right? And, you know, there are nuances to this conversation, right? College is expensive. There are certain kids who are trying to apply to more schools to see where they can get a full ride. There may be other factors involved. So I'm not saying there's one answer for everyone, but what I am saying is we want to focus on the student experience and helping them build these underlying skills and moving beyond this narrow definition on college admissions.
Sure. Well, I do remember my older daughter applying to schools around here in California, and we drove to the school, we had a tour, and we were told that it wouldn't be 4 years to get her degree, it would be 6 because classes were so impacted.
Yeah. And that really changes the conversation for many families when they have to be earning an income as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the challenge that I find is that, you know, now more and more students and families are looking at college and career together. And that also shortens the runway of exploration sometimes because there's this certainty in needing to know what you do. But most people will tell you, I mean, that people that love the job, their jobs the most, and I talk about this in the book, it comes out of something you like to do in middle school and high school. So something natural
sure.
you like to do, whether you like to talk to people, whether you know, whatever it was. But given how quickly things are changing in our working world, we have to be adaptable and flexible. And so that's that first pillar around systems is how do you navigate change and how do you support change? So I think that that is the bigger piece of how do we help every student not shorten their runway, but lengthen their runway to think, gosh, there are multiple places I can thrive and multiple spaces at every point of my life.
Do students open up to you that they have felt very disconnected socially during the pandemic? I'm just curious.
Absolutely. So I just wrote a piece last week for the Washington Post on helping students develop and cultivate healthy relationships. And whenever I talk about friendships and relationships in my books, I always get the most comments and feedback from families that coming back from the pandemic these last few years, and it's not ending, right, is that the social dynamic kids, you know, feel developmentally that they're a few years behind in terms of the social connections. And a lot of this was also happening before the pandemic because so many of our introductions and our conversations were taking place over text or online, and they weren't having that face-to-face conversation or that practice with small talk skills. So you and me, we're both probably in jobs where we talk with people a lot. We're used to coming up with ways to navigate small talk with people from different backgrounds, for different interests. But if that's not easy for you, then it creates all these extra hurdles to connection. And like even just having an intro conversation between two classmates seems very difficult for a lot of students. So I've been over the last 6 years developing a nonprofit program. We developed a school advisory. It's a set of lessons that go into the classroom and we train the teachers around that. And one of the key elements is, you know, introducing yourself to your classmates, knowing when to ask for help. Because all of these pieces we underestimate, but they're so key for building connection, for building a sense of purpose, for building a sense of belonging, and really being engaged in your school and greater community.
Definitely. Where can people find out more about you and the book?
Well, the erasingthefinishline.com is the book website, and it is attached to my own personal website, annahomoyan.com. So erasingthefinishline.com is a great place to start.
Fantastic. I want to thank you so much for calling in. This is such an important book. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye. If you missed any part of my conversation with Anna, it will be up on the show blog within an hour after I wrap, and I'm just about done here at 10 o'clock, top of the hour. The show blog, again, is getthefunkoutshow.kuci.org. If you want to find out more about the show, visit the show blog. You'll see and hear so many of my guests. I've been on this doing the show since 2011. And if you want to find out about being a guest, you can send me an email to Janine, J-A-N-E-A-N-E at KUCI.org. Have a great week. I'll be back next Wednesday. You can hear my best of shows on Mondays at 9. Have a great one. You're listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine.